Bibles to Psalms 119 and continue with working our way through this on Wednesday nights from time to time. We're going to work with verses 25 through 32. And I think you can see a theme in these verses around David choosing truth. David choosing truth and going in the way of truth. And so that's what we'll call this one, choosing the truth. Well, we'll just read one verse at a time and then work our way through that. The first verse there says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." Let's pray again. Lord, help us as we work our way through this tonight. I pray to be a blessing and encouragement to your people, Lord, to look to your word, to choose truth. In Jesus' name, and amen. David starts off saying, "My soul clings to the dust." I mean, that's a pretty low spot, isn't it? I mean, you can't really get much lower than that. And maybe we have felt like it. Maybe we can identify with the language that he's using there, "My soul clings to the dust." Now, very interesting, in the very end of this portion of this psalm, and each of these are divided up, each one of these are a psalm of their own, really, in Psalm 119, but each one is, each segment is its own thing. But notice in verse 31, if you have a New King James Version, he says in verse 31, "I cling to your testimonies." So David goes from his soul clinging to the dust to now saying, "I cling to your testimonies." Sometimes God brings us to the dust so that we will cling to Him and cling to His Word. And so if we can get that out of this, that's really kind of the progression of this psalm and how it works out. David starts off very low here, but he also becomes very determined that even though he's very low, he's going to cling to God. And that's really what we see unfold in this psalm. You know, when we get to the end of our rope sometimes where we feel like David when he says, "My soul clings to the dust," it doesn't mean that he's gotten away from the Lord necessarily, though I think there might be a little hint here of what David says in just a moment, that I think he knows that there's something about himself that has brought him low, and we'll deal with that in just a moment. But you know, no matter what we're going through, whether it's because we've gotten away from the Lord or not, you just can't go through trials and troubles and being brought low with a smile on your face, can you? But one thing's for certain is no matter how low we get, we can be brought back up. We can be quickened. And that's what he says here when he says, "Revive me according to your word." And so bring life to me, Lord. So he's saying I'm lifeless. He's like he's laying in the dust. His soul's in the dust. And so he feels very lifeless. And by saying, "Revive me," he feels like no breath is in him. He feels like there's just no life in him. So he's as low as you can possibly get, nearly spiritually dead feeling. He's not spiritually dead, but you get the idea. Revive me. He needs quickened. He needs alivened. And he's cleaving to the dust. I mean, that's pretty low. I think we like reading those things about David. We not that we are glad that he was low, but we identify. We connect with those emotions and the descriptive language of David sometimes with how he describes where he's at. "My soul cleaves to the dust." I mean, so he's in a very low spot in his life. But where does he go for his pickup? He goes to the Word of God. "Revive me." He knew where he needed to go. "Revive me according to what? Your Word. Quicken me according to your Word." Or "Revive me according to your Word." He knew the Word of God was what he needed to put life back in him, to pick him back up out of the dust. He was brought low, but he knew the Word of God would pick him up. And so he knew right where to go. It's great when the Christian who's brought low runs first to the Word of God. And that's what we need to be, our response to the Word of God needs to be. As we talked about lately on Sunday morning, that we need to run to God's Word. We run to the Lord. When we're brought low, we shouldn't be turning to a drink, a pill, or any kind of worldly pleasure or entertainment. We need to go to the Lord. We don't simply need a distraction from our problem or distraction from what's brought us low, but we need to run to the Lord to pick us up. Now in verse 26, he says, "I have declared my ways. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." I think here's the clue here of why David might have been brought low. I think David is here saying, I've declared my ways. That changes through this psalm. He's not going to be declaring his ways anymore. He's going to be declaring God's ways. And so I think there's something here possibly that David is recognizing that maybe one of the reasons he's been brought low is because David's been talking about his own ways, talking about his own desires maybe. It seems that with what he said in the verse before this, that this could maybe be why he might be thinking he's brought low. He's declared his ways. And one way to be brought low is to be stuck on your ways, be clinging to your ways. It'll bring you low. And but later, David is when we cling to the testimonies of the Lord. All of us, of course, can get wrapped up real quick in declaring our ways, our opinions, and rather than God's ways. Let us be quick to declare the ways of the Lord. But sometimes that's what the Lord does. We get caught up in ourselves and our ways, and God brings us low so that we will what? Then we'll seek Him. We'll seek His ways. That's just a working of the Lord. It's the chastening, the correcting, the teaching, the discipling of the Lord. Sometimes we get caught up in ourselves, our own ways. The Lord brings us a little low and says, hey, remember me? And we call out to the Lord, and the Lord brings us back. Aren't you glad He does that? I'm glad He doesn't let me keep on going. That whenever I get kind of stuck on myself and my desires, my ways, that He doesn't say, well, okay. But no, He says, okay, I'm going to do something, teach Him a lesson here so that He will come to my ways, call out for me and my will and my word. Because if we start declaring our ways and go our way and we just keep on going, everything's great, guess what? We don't call upon God. We don't call upon God. And so we need the Lord to do that to us. I want the Lord to do that. If I get stuck on my ways, declaring my thoughts, my opinions, my word, I want God to take my attention and say, hey, remember me? It's about me, my word. And I think that's somewhat what we've seen David doing, because he says, I've declared my ways, and then he says, and you answered me. I think the answer is that God brought him low. That was his answer. And now David, in response, is saying what? Teach me what? Your statutes. Teach me your statutes. You know, you're learning your lesson very well and quickly and rightfully so, and in a good manner, if as soon as God brings you low, you say, Lord, teach me your statutes. And that needs to be our response. Instead of being stubborn and say, I want to stick with my way, but we take attention and then we say, Lord, teach me your statutes. And now, he says, I have declared my ways and you heard me. Teach me what your statutes, right? Now, what does he say next in verse 27? Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. I think the King James Version actually says here, so shall I talk of your wondrous works. I'm not sure which word actually should be there in this case. But I like actually the word talk there. It's funny, you start preaching King James Version, you say, well, maybe it could be this, a new King James or something else. And you start using the new King James more, you're like, well, you know, the King James Version here actually might have a little better word here. We see that. And talk might actually be a little better word here, because that's what David was talking of his ways. The Lord teaches him, and now David is talking of God's ways. He's talking of God's ways. So shall I talk or meditate of your wondrous works. So he said before he was declared his ways, and we see a great progression here in wanting now to declare God's works. So we see this. He declared his ways. He said, Lord, teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of your ways or your wondrous works. We should desire this when we start declaring our own ways, the Lord would teach us so that He would change us, so that we would no longer proclaim our way, but we would begin to declare the way of the Lord. Verse 28, he says, my soul melts from heaviness. Don't you see how just how David feels within. He says, first it was my soul clings to the dust. I mean, that's low. Then he says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. So it's the word of God that brings life to him, that picks him up. Verse 28, it's the word of God that gives him strength. As you think about that word melt, there's probably different things that would come to your mind, but one thing I think of, is, of course, is what causes something to melt, of course, is heat. He says here that his soul melts from heaviness, or because of heaviness. There are many things that would weigh upon us where we would feel sunken down in our soul. When something melts, it loses what? It loses structure. It loses form. It becomes unrecognizable. We've all seen something, and when it melts, we're like, you can't even tell what it is. And it loses its purpose for which it was formed. Until it's what? Heated again and reformed back to its purpose, if it can be done that way. And that's what the Lord that's what happens to us sometimes. We go through a heavy trial, we go through something heavy, and we melt before it, and we kind of lose our structure, we lose our frame, if you would. And we forget our purpose. We don't look like what we once did, but maybe that's because God is forming us into looking like something a little better. But God in His Word can strengthen us and pick us back up and reform us. When you think of the word melt also, I think about where the Word of God talks about fiery trials. Fiery trials can melt us. That word fiery trial, or the word fiery in the Word of God, speaks of many things, but it speaks of to kindle, to be ignited, to be refined, to be inflamed, maybe even with anger or grief or lust. You know, Satan comes at us and he throws a lot of things at us to get us disheartened, to make us feel heavy, to bring us low, to make us melt in our soul. Ephesians 6:16, Paul there talking about the armor, says, above all, taking a shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. When you put that thought in Ephesians with Psalm 119 together, you put those together, he spoke about melting, but being strengthened by what? The Word of God, which is what? Our shield, as Ephesians 6 teaches us, about the shield of faith. Where do we get our faith, of course? The Word of God. So there's a connection there. So you take the Word of God, and he says, you shall be able to quench. The word quench, I don't think we understand. When he says, take the fiery darts that you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the word quench means to put out. There, quench the fiery darts of the wicked. It's not just deflect, it's to put out. The Word of God, of course, is also likened unto what? Water. And what do you put on fire? You put water. I mean, the Word of God is our defense. The Word of God is what picks us up. The Word of God is what the Word of God is what quenches the fiery darts of Satan. It's what the Word is what he uses to put out the fiery darts of Satan. Of course, we think of fire. I think of also the fiery trial, which is to try you, that Peter talks about there in 1 Peter. And many things may be used to bring us low, to make us feel melted with heaviness. But no matter what it is, whether it's a trial, whether it's a temptation, no matter if we've fallen, no matter what it is, it always comes back to this. We get strengthened from the Word of God. That's what Psalm 119 is about. It's about the work of God's Word in our heart and our life. It's all about the Word. No matter what it is we're going through, go to the Word. You get strengthened in the Word. You get revived in the Word. You get taught by the Word. Verse 29, David says this, "Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously." Now, I don't believe that when David says, remove from me the way of lying, that David has a lying problem. He's telling lies all the time. He said, God, please help me to stop lying. I don't think that's the case at all. David actually mentions this a few times in the Psalms. I agree with John Gill, who said, not the sin of lying to men, and of course, and a course of it, which David was not addicted to, but a false way or a way of falsehood. The opposite of lying, or lying is falsehood. I believe that David had an intense desire here to remove all falsehood, all false ways from his life. In other words, he wanted to live in truth. He desired every part of him to live in truth, that everything that is false would part from him. He says in verse 28, I hate every false way. And so I don't think David has an addiction to lying in here, but he hates everything false. Deliver me from lying, you know. I tell you, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of lying. And I can say with David, Lord, deliver me from lying, because it's everywhere. Deliver me from everything that is false. We should have a righteous hatred for everything that is false, that could lead us into error. I like his plea to God next when he says, and grant me your law, or grant me your law graciously. Grant me your law graciously. Lord, remove anything false from me. Remove anything false in my path. And Lord, lead me in your law graciously. Show pity on me, Lord, as you do this. And give me your word, stoop in kindness, as it speaks of. Stoop in kindness, Lord. Remove from me what is false and show me what is right. Can you see the heart of David here? I want that heart always. He wanted God to be gentle with him. And he wanted God to acknowledge his weakness. He wanted God to deal graciously with him. He realized that for God to even deal with him at all in his word was showing favor towards him, as that word graciously speaks of. In verse 30, he says, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have I laid before me. Can we say that? When shown the false way and shown the right way, can we say we chose the way of truth? You know, we come to so many situations in our life and we're trying to figure out what is right, what is wrong. We go to God's Word. We say, Lord, remove from me all falsehood, all lying. Show me what is real. Show me what is true. And then do we really want that? And then do we really want to then choose what is right? Truth should have, of course, priority in all of our decisions. What is true? But before David could say this, could choose this way of truth, before he could choose the way of truth, he needed God's Word. He needed God's commandments. We can't not know for certain that we have chosen the way of truth unless it is based upon the Word of the Lord. You know, when you have decisions to make, are you going to God's Word to find out the judgments of the Lord, what God declares is right, what God declares is wrong? When we make decisions, do we just do what seems right? What just seemed right? Well, you can't do what seems right. There's a way that seems right unto a man, right? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Or do we choose not what seems right, do we choose, well, what where the least resistance is? Listen, you're going to make a lot of bad decisions if you just choose the path of least resistance. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, broad or easy is the way that leads to destruction. I mean, you can't just say, well, this is the easy way. Well, that may not be the right way. This is what feels right. What might seem right. That doesn't make it right. And you can't make it upon what is popular, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be in which go thereat. So you can't choose what feels right. You can't choose, if you would, the path of least resistance, and you can't choose what is most popular. You have to choose what's right, what God says, even if you're the only one. You have to choose what's right, even when it doesn't feel good? Are we basing our decisions upon the way of truth? He then says, your judgments have I laid before me. I like that. After speaking about making decisions, he speaks about God's judgments. What God says is right or wrong. If we're going to choose the way of truth, then God's judgment must be what we base it on, not our own judgments. Do we look unto them? Are they in front of us? God gives us His judgments concerning our decisions we must make. We're not the one deciding right and wrong. Sometimes Christians are said, what are Christians so much accused of today? If they say something's wrong, you're so what? Judgmental. You think I'm judgmental? You need to read the Word of God. God is judgmental. God declares His judgments. He declares what's right and wrong. We're not to be judgmental, but we are to declare what's right. God is the one that makes the judgments, not us. We just declare His truth. And we base our decisions upon truth. We choose the ways based upon truth, upon what God says is right, what God says is wrong. We are just responsible to choose what is right. We don't decide what is right. I got to figure out what is right. No, not really. You got to find out what God says is right. You got to find out what God says is right. When you're talking about moral decisions, it's not ours to decide what is right, right? It's for God. It's for us to go to God and say, God, what have you declared is right? We do not make judgments. We choose right or wrong. You know, we don't make right or wrong. We choose right or wrong. We need to decide to stick with God's judgments in our decisions, which is what He done. In the next verse, verse 31, He says, I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. When we choose God's rights, when we choose what God says is right, we don't have to be ashamed. You know, David says, I have stuck or I cling to your testimonies. I tell you what, when you go through that process of crying out to God, trying to find out what's right, trying to find the right answer, and God shows you His ways, He shows you His judgment, you say, that is what's right. I tell you what, you can get up from there and say, you know what, that's what's right. I don't have anything to be ashamed of. I know what my decision is because God says this is what's right. You don't have to be arrogant about it. You don't have to be proud about it. But you don't have to be ashamed about it either. You don't have to be ashamed about it either. And you can stick to it. Only in God's Word will we be unwavering and unmovable or glued. So you're so stuck in your mind. Well, if my mind's on God's Word, I need to be stuck. So you're so stuck in your mindset. Well, if it's stuck on God's Word, that's a good place to be stuck. Right? There is a good characteristic of being stubborn in a good way, right? In a good way. Not the bad attitude. I'm not talking about a bad attitude, but just like, no, this is what's right. I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it. I don't want to be prideful about it. But this is what's right. God's Word says this. God's judgment says this. I choose what is right. I'm just agreeing with what God has already said. And I don't want to be moved from that. And boy, when God shows us and we stick to it, like I said, we do not need anything to be ashamed of. Oh Lord, put me not to shame. He will not put us to shame. We don't have to be ashamed at all whenever we know that we are just choosing what God has set before us is right. And we don't have anything to be ashamed of. When I've faced decisions to make and have sought the Word of God to make the judgment, and when I've seen what was right and then stuck to my decisions in those sayings, I was very confident. I didn't have to be ashamed of what I decided. And when you make those decisions based upon God's Word. Last verse, verse 32, quickly. I will run the course of your commandments. I will run the course of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart, for you shall enlarge my heart. Now he says he's going to run in the way of God's commandments. First, he's declaring his ways. But we can change so fast, can't we? While we're declaring our ways, now he's going to run God's ways. Declare God's ways and run God's ways. But what led up to this running in God's commandments? To run in God's... Well, he had to be shown that he was wrong. What was wrong? He had to be shown what was right. He chose what was right. He sticks with what is right. And he's unashamed of his decision. And he says, I will run. I like the progression of this psalm. We're never going to take off as a Christian until we have decided to do what is right no matter what. I tell you, that's a mindset that so many Christians, I don't know if they get, where they are going to choose what is right no matter what. And sometimes that doesn't always fit in with what you want sometimes, or what is easy, or what is popular. We need to be resolved and determined to follow God's judgments right now. Because there's going to be many things in our future that's going to come at us, and we're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged. We have to decide today, we're going to choose God's judgments. Maybe you're looking to run in the ways of the Lord and decide today to go His way no matter what He reveals to you. Do not determine or base your decision upon what seems right, upon the path of least resistance, upon the popular path, or upon the path that is broad. Choose God's judgments today, and listen, we won't have anything to be ashamed of tomorrow. We won't have anything to be ashamed of tomorrow. We need a big heart for God. I like how He says, for You shall enlarge my heart. I just like that. God, I know You want to give me a big heart. You enlarge my heart. And I think He feels full. He feels full. You shall enlarge my heart. And it's wonderful. He goes from cleaning to the dust with no life. Lord, You enlarge my heart. We can do that all that in one day, can't we, sometimes? I'm thankful for God's Word and how it works in our life. Father, use Your Word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would run to it for life and for strength. Help us to choose what is right. Help us to be determined to look to Your Word, to find what is right, and to choose that, and to stick to it no matter what, and to be humble about it, but confident and unashamed. In Jesus' name, and amen.